And welcome to today's feature. Of course, on Monday, we were out at the York Farms here where Diversified Crop Insurance Services held their Precision Ag Technology Field Day. We kind of previewed that on Monday. The actual event held yesterday. We stopped out there, and that gave us a chance to sit down and talk with Mike Tuhill, agronomist with Diversified Services. We began by saying, well, it was, normally we talk by phone. Good to sit down and visit in person.
Thank you, Roger. Nice to see you today.
Well, okay. We had just a week ago now, the USDA crop production report. Hey, Illinois' corn yield went up a bushel. I think beans went up a bushel. Are things that good?
In my opinion, definitely not, Roger. The 173 for Illinois would just mean that we're off 27 bushels from last year's yield and a 13.5%. And talking to a lot of growers from around the state who've already shelled corn, most guys, again, there's some better corn than this. Most guys are off 20, 25, 30, 40% compared to 2014. So the government numbers may say it's a nice crop, but from what guys are telling me, not so good out here in the countryside.
What have you heard? I know the last time we talked, I asked you, okay, what was the best area of Illinois that you had seen? I think you were kind of talking a little east and south of Decatur, kind of over in that area. Are you getting any yield reports from there?
Yeah, we sure are, Roger. I thought last time we talked, probably that Decatur through Taylorville, up toward Champaign, down through Tuscola area would be the best. But unfortunately, they got pretty dry early part of August, and that corn is good for the most part, but most guys are disappointed with that. A lot of fields are going 170 to 210 without a lot of water damage, and they thought those fields would go 200 to 250. So again, corn is pretty good, disappointing. There's some pretty good corn in western Illinois too, maybe up through Hancock County, parts of McDonough on better drains corn. But again, some 210s, 215s are some of the best field averages I've heard. And a lot of those same fields last year were going 230, 240. And a lot of guys have kind of shelled some of that water damaged corn through Sangamon and Logan County. And no one's talking yields, so I'm sure a lot of those are sub 100. And we really haven't got into the really bad corn, kind of from I-74 through I-57 and east, that Kankakee County, Will County, Iroquois County, northern Champaign, just some really, really bad corn over there.
And, of course, you're up in McLean County. I know when, again, we talked, it's kind of like the tale of two cities. I've read where it's very good. You tell me it's not so good. What's the verdict there?
Yeah, Roger, there is going to be some 200 bushel corn in McLean County, but going to be a lot of sub 100, a lot of 120, 140. So, again, McLean County is a huge county. Anything with poor drainage in the county is pretty poor. And one thing we really haven't talked about, Roger, between the shallow roots this year, the lack of nitrogen, we've also had some issues with some significant stalk rot infections and anthracnose. Most of the corn in Illinois is dying in a milk line 50%. So I think that's where that some of that disappointment is coming from. Guys are telling me the water spots are bigger than they thought. But again, all the corn died prematurely, which took some yield off. And there's no way we should be having all this corn that's down 13, 14%. So that's taking some yield off too. And days like today, Roger, corn's probably dropping a point plus today. More of that invisible loss. So I think the Illinois corn crop is going to continue to shrink. I think some of the best corn in the state had already been shelled. Yesterday I was all the way north to I-88 and the corn was dead all the way to I-80, and the corn from I-80 up to the Wisconsin border is going to be dead in another 3 to 4 days. So that same disease complex is knocking it off too.
Have you been able to ascertain at this point those who maybe were not terribly drowned out and had some decent looking fields went ahead and sprayed fungicide benefit this year?
Yeah, I think for the most part, Roger, the guys who had the good fields, I've seen some yield checks come across my desk anywhere from 10 to 20 bushels, and just walking some corn pre-harvest, it looks like the fungicide paid pretty well. It looked like to me gray leaf spot never really rolled much after we got cooler in July into August, but the anthracnose complex was pretty significant, and the guys who sprayed, especially sprayed a little bit on the later side, may have kept that corn alive maybe 7 to 10 days longer, which is getting you maybe 7 to 10% more yield in some fields.
I've also heard some of the test weights a little disappointing. I guess that would revert back to where you're talking about when the corn died.
Yeah, exactly right, Roger. Test weights have been pretty variable. And again, I think most of the Illinois crop, I'm guessing 90% died at a milk line 50%, and some of the later planted corn is dying with the milk line maybe 20% down. So again, I think some of the best corn in the state has been shelled. Not saying there won't be some areas that get into some 200 to 220s, but there's also going to be a lot of sub-100 bushel fields that no one's talked about all summer, but we knew they were there, and they're going to be there come harvest time.
I know it's maybe not in your field of expertise, but interestingly, I heard over at the Farm Progress Show, for example, talking about this year very variable, because when you go through those wet spots, the corn may be up at 30%, then you get over into the high spot in the field and it's down to 15. May be difficult to try and store this corn.
Exactly right, Roger. And I'm also picking up some cob rots caused by the premature death with the foliar diseases and also with the stock rot complex. So there's some stock rot issues, some cob rot issues, maybe getting a little bit of fusarium kernel rot. So there's some issues there too. But one nice thing about this, what I'm calling a kind of a flash freeze or the disease killing the corn off, a lot of those greener spots are coming down pretty fast. So we're not going to have that huge moisture spread that we thought maybe 2 to 3 weeks ago. Generally, the whole fields are dying off, and that 8-9% moisture spread is coming to together closer as we get closer to number two corn.
One producer I talked with said that they had, you know, VT triples and they had some multi-stacked, and really the least amount of traits seemed to be yielding the best. Any logic for that?
You know, it could be, Roger. I really haven't studied that enough to know here for this year. For the most part, there weren't a lot of insects this year, very few rootworms. There were some first-generation corn borer, but I think we had so much moisture in June that they didn't establish real well. So that could be a function of, yeah, just not a lot of disease or insect pressure to make these technologies really shine this year.
The other crop, soybeans, have they died or just, you know, it's amazing to me that some of the mid-group threes are already, you know, right at the point where they're going to be ready to be cut.
Agreed, Roger. I guess to give you a synopsis on the bean crop, I thought the bean crop in Illinois on July 4th was horrible, but the two big advantages for soybeans, they can produce their own nitrogen and also have a different root system where they can go down and access some moisture. The bean crop really turned around pretty well for the most part. There's some sudden death here locally, also some sudden death in deep southern Illinois, but there's very little sudden death just a few miles east of here all the way to Indiana, so the beans stayed pretty healthy. I like the size of the beans. We've got some weed issues out there, but again, there's no way Illinois is going to come in at 54 like the government's saying, which would be our second highest bean crop ever, but I do think 50 is obtainable for Illinois, even with all the water holes that are still out there. So I think the bean crop has come along pretty good. We've probably got some anthracnose also in the soybeans turning things pretty quickly, but I think the beans, for the most part, going to be a pretty good crop, especially relative to how they looked in July.
Well, obviously, we speculate on the government and the government reports, but you know, when you look at the crop ratings, some of the last ratings throughout the last month, you look at the state of Iowa versus the state of Illinois, our bean yield still one bushel better, and now we're within eight bushels on the corn crop.
Agreed, Roger. The bean ratings, especially Minnesota bean crop, is 80% good to excellent, WAR 55, and we're going to have 4 to 5 bushel better beans per acre than them. So again, they at least should look at the numbers and try to get some correlation before they publish them.
Of course, now the real question is, once we get the crops harvested, given the economic situation, what producers need to be doing in terms of fertility for next year. And I guess the one thing that's going to be easy to forget is that if you're in a corn-soybean rotation, this year's soybean crop was where you took off a big corn crop last year.
Agreed, Roger. Looks like to me we're going to kind of watch the pricing. I think hopefully on the corn side we've got a little bit of a rally coming into harvest time, especially since the government decided that they were going to cut down the western crop. They raised east a little bit. I think for the most part, I think the government numbers are going to drop down, so maybe there'll be a little bit of a price rally for corn. I think, guys, if me personally, I would focus on getting my pH corrected first. And right now there's a lot of tillage that needs to be done, not only from the force of all the rain, but from all the compaction. The ground is very hard, so I'd probably focus on getting my pH right, get my tillage done, then we'll kind of worry about the P and K where we see the economics roll to.
I'm glad you mentioned the compaction, because earlier this summer when I had the fortunate experience to go up in a plane, look at some of the crops, and now some of those fields are being harvested, and the bean fields that now are showing some writing, you can still see a lot of pretty straight diagonal tracks across fields.
You sure can, Roger. South of here, you can even pick up harvest compaction from last year's crop. Most years, the in-rows are pretty good. This year, a lot of the in-rows were just compacted pretty badly. I'm walking across sprayer tracks, walking fields all summer. You almost trip and fall down. There's so many ruts and cuts. So, again, Mother Nature's got this ground in pretty rough shape besides what we did to it. And I really hope the forecast for an El Nino winter is not true, which would mean a little milder and a little drier winter. We really need to get our tillage done if you're a tillage person and get some really good freezing and thawing to kind of fracture the soil. We'll be behind the eight ball for next year.
Thinking back as we were talking about corn, I didn't ask, for last year was maybe the exception out of the last 5 years where corn following corn took a hit. What are you hearing in that regard this year?
Boy, Roger, I think for the most part, corn on corn is going to take a hit again this year, primarily a function of less nitrogen. But I've never seen so many well-drained fields, even on bean stubble, that had a hard time accessing nitrogen this year. So I know we had to lose a lot of nitrogen. Then in those poorly drained fields, there's so many corn fields through McLean, Iroquois, Kankakee, Effingham, Clay counties, just name your counties, that corn only got 4 to 5 foot tall this year. So I would assume corn on corn will be a little bit worse, probably more disease pressure corn on corn too. So I do expect a hit for corn on corn. But I've also never seen so many bean fields where corn, fall, and soybeans yielded so poorly, or will yield so poorly.
Well, with all the fields you've been into, it's interesting that I did the calculation, and we plant over 10 million acres here of corn in Illinois. And for the August crop report, the actual enumerators that go out, if you calculate what they did, 140 checks, amounted to a little less than one half an acre. This year, is statistically one half of an acre going to represent 10 million?
Definitely not, Roger. This summer is so variable, I could spend a whole day in a 40-acre field in a big chunk of Illinois, and I couldn't get within 20 bushels due to the variability, Roger. So, again, it's kind of the way they do things. Hopefully we'll get some honest harvest reports to kind of even things out a little bit. But I've never seen such a variable crop. And what farmers are telling me from the combine cab, for the most part, these yields are varying from 220 to 4 in the same pass, just like we thought they would.
Well, and the other thing that surprised me in both the August and then even more so here in the September report was the population and ear counts.
Yeah, definitely so, Roger. I guess they picked up 750 more ears per acre in 1 month, so I guess we'll see how the numbers shake out.
That's kind of odd when they're supposed to go back to the same place.
Agreed, Roger, agreed.
Well, again, I guess as we go through harvest, you know, they're talking now, we're going to be hot and dry basically for the next 2 weeks. That could potentially, how much would that lower yields? I mean, if we harvest corn, you know, sub 15.
Boy, I'm just going to throw a number out there. I think we've already lost 5% on our yield number just based on the 1st of September, just on this rapid dry down, that invisible loss, an incredible amount of head loss. And we've already had enough windstorms around with the bad as the stalk rot is. We probably have already got 3, 4, maybe 5% on the ground already. So what we really don't need, Roger, is any more wind. It's just going to be a tough harvest because this corn has dried so rapidly. There's going to be less bushels there. And again, a big 40 to 50 mile an hour straight line of wind throughout Illinois would be devastating.
Well, we'll try to talk again in a couple of weeks, and maybe we'll have more harvest results we can talk about, and then maybe by then we'll see what the market's reaction is to the combine reports.
Yeah, very much so, Roger. Normally when I'm out making yield checks in the summer, if I tell a guy it's going to make around 180, if it goes 210, they're on the phone or texting or let me know how off I was. And so far this year, Roger, I think we're pretty close because no one's telling me I missed your corn by 30 bushels. It's better than I thought. For the most part, guys are pretty disappointed with their yields.
And again, Mike Tuhill, agronomist with Diversified Services, we were able to visit with him yesterday, and that's what we're understanding is that as you go through the field from one end to the other, the yields based on yield monitors can vary a great deal. So again, when we get done with harvest, maybe come January, when we get the final production number from USDA, it will be very interesting to see exactly what they come up with in terms of yield. And of course, the acreage question is still out there as well. How many prevent plant acres? How many acres may not have even gotten planted? And likewise, how many got planted but won't be harvested? A lot of questions about this year's crop. With that, we wrap up today's feature.